39 in its entirety. And also my text, which is from Acts chapter 27, verse 23. But Psalm 139 first. Let's hear now the Word of God read in the congregation of His holy people. Psalm 139. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting, mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought far off. Thou compasses my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, it is high, I cannot attain to it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me. Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hides not from Thee, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. For Thou hast possessed my reins, covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knows right well. My substance was not hid from Thee. When I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth, Thine eyes did see my substance. Yet being unperfect, and in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with Thee. Surely, I will slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against Thee wickedly, and Thine enemies take Thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate Thee, and am not I grieved with those that rise against Thee. I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless His word, inspired by the Spirit, inspiring the psalmist to write these wonderful words. Heavenly Lord Jesus, these things we say, these things we pray in Your wonderful name. Amen. The old Socratic adage has some wisdom to it, which says, know thyself. Know thyself. It's not bad advice, actually. Problem is that the counsel given concerning oneself, knowing oneself, is often erroneous and always mixed with lies. But self-identity is an important thing to have. There are six loci in theology. The first two are what's important, most important of all, to us to think about this morning. The first loci is theology, which is the study and the love of God. And the second loci of Reformed theology and dogma is anthropology, which is the study of man. And there are two questions for every one of us to ask. The first is the most important, the greatest question of all, and the second is the second most important. The first question asks, who is God? And the second question asked, who am I? Two great, great questions to have and to have the answers to. And in the main, I want to address the second question. I'm going to address the first too, but the focus of attention is on anthropology this morning, the study of man. And who am I? And I chose as a text what Paul said about himself in Acts 27, verse 23, sort of in passing. You would not notice this verse necessarily this way, but it focuses our attention this morning in a good way. For there stood I, and there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. I belong to God. I serve Him. That's my identity. If you get the first question wrong, who God is, you messed up. You messed up your whole life if you get that first one wrong. See why it's so important to learn accurately what the Bible teaches? You have a wrong idea of God and you are messed up. And you mess up your kids and your grandkids and anyone else who will listen to you. I hope you're listening this morning. I want to talk about, first, secular awareness. You know what secular means, don't you? Worldly. Right? Basically, that's what secularism is. Worldliness. I want to talk about secular identity or self-awareness. And then, finally, talk about sanctified awareness. All with a desire in answering the two questions, mainly the focus, who am I? This is important stuff. I know you realize that. What you do with the stuff you hear in the church. That's a different matter sometimes, isn't it? I know you all know better than you do. Every one of us knows a lot better than he or she does. Correct? Amen. Secular or modern psychology today does recognize that it is critically important, this whole idea of self-awareness. Sometimes they call it self-realization or self-actualization, various names for it exist, but they do have a point. When they say, for example, well, look, he's young, he's still searching, trying to find out who he is, or she is, give her a break, give her some time, or she'll come to understand better what she is all about or who she is. You have to give her time to search herself out. And what happens is, oftentimes, people develop these ideas about themselves, their identity. They identify in certain ways with certain things, and it messes up their lives, the way they see themselves, the way they think of themselves, the way they feel about themselves. And it really affects their lives in ways that, you know, they make certain choices in education and job choices and friendship choices and relationships and whether to marry or to live with the guy or the gal for a while, testing the waters, or so many things. The way they see themselves and identify affects them and the decisions that they make. And so secular psychology and counseling, whether professional or not, does have a point in saying you need to know yourself, as Socrates said. Know thyself. You need to understand who you are, because that's what's affecting your choices, your life choices and decisions. Now, we see what's going on in our world, in our culture, in our society lately by observing, for example, the LGBTQXYZ community. What am I? A male? A man? A female? A woman? Or am I something else? What do they have, about 7 or 8 or 9 different genders now? Genders? Who am I? What am I? And what's the answer that these perverse people say? You are what you feel. If you're a man and you feel that you're a woman. And you become a woman. Through surgeries and things like that, which cause all kinds of problems. Even the secular psychiatrists say you're doing them no favor by making them a man into a woman or a woman into a man. You're not doing them any favor. But it's what you feel you are. See, self-identity. I feel I should be a woman. I'm a woman. I feel I'm an alien. I'm an alien. is what it's like for some people. And it's not a little number. Not the majority by any means, but it's... And it's affecting our own sons and daughters because these people are so confused and they're confusing our children. And they're growing up in a day and age when things are like, okay, let's live and let live. Let them be. Let's accept it. There are people, high school, college, they get their identity, their awareness, their self-awareness from what others think and say about them. Right? That's pretty popular. That's certainly a significant minority, if not the majority, of teens, especially, but even young adults in college. What others say about me. What others think of me. I get my identity, identify myself. I'm aware that if someone says that that I'm a flirt, that's what I must be. And so it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. You act like that, or that I dress risque. I dress that way. Or you look good with your hairstyle this way, or with this makeup on, or with this lipstick, or whatever it may be. And lo and behold, I identify myself with these things. People say these things, and I think of myself in this way. And I begin to act. Others say, this may be older people, maybe not, they identify themselves by what they do. I'm an engineer. I'm a construction worker. I'm a teacher. I'm a politician. I'm an educator. Really? That who you are? What if you change jobs and you don't go into engineering but you go into something else? Who are you then? What happened to you? Aren't you still you? You're not an engineer. You do engineering. Other people define themselves by their relationship with others. I'm a mother and I'm raising all these children and I talk about my children all the time and we go here and we go there. What about when your children grow up? Are you lost? Who are you? Who am I? A lot of people define themselves by their relationships. I'm Diane's husband. She's my wife. Really? What if I die? Who am I then? Or who is she? She dies. Who am I? See, these are inadequate ways. You know who's in the identity, stealing the identity business? You know, you have the hackers and they talk about identity theft. They steal your social security number, your credit card number, your birthday, your this, your that, and they've stolen your identity. Really? That's not stealing your identity. That's not your identity. It's not who you are. But Satan does steal your identity. See, this is what's more important. Satan's stealing the identity. Not the hacker stealing my
credit card number or my social security number. That's not identity theft. But Satan steals my identity because of my pride, and he bolsters my pride, and I think more than I ought about myself and about my own opinions and about what I think. Satan's in the business of stealing my identity. By my worldly interest, by my sinfulness, he props me up that way, and that's stealing my identity. Why? Because I need to identify myself according to what God says I am and have become, not what I think I should be or what the world says about me. Or anyone else. I will praise thee, the psalmist says in Psalm 139, 14 to 17. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knows right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! What you think about me, what you say about me, from the beginning of my life to the end thereof and beyond, that's what matters most to me. That's where I identify. That's with what I identify with the most. And so, quickly, very quickly, four things that really are mentioned not only in this psalm but throughout the Word of God is who I am, what Paul said, whose I am and whom I serve. That's who I am. That's my identity. Why? I'll tell you why. The first thing is election. The first thing is I am chosen and precious to God from the beginning, from the womb, from before my substance formed in the womb. But when the womb to the tomb and beyond, I am chosen by God. You see, He has chosen me not because I'm better than the rest or because I'm brighter or I'm better looking or because I'm Mr. Wonderful. None of that. It's because of His love, wherewith He loved me and gave Himself for me. It's because of His love that I am chosen. Remember? He loved me before the world began. He loves me with an everlasting love. It's not we love Him, but He loved us, as John says. That's what made the difference. He chose me. Why? Because He loves me. Why? Because of Christ and the sacrifice. Why? Go ask Him further if you want. But I gave you two or three good reasons. And that's an everlasting love. That's not something that's going to fade. It's going to be up one minute, down the next. Here one day, gone the next. No way. This is something that is permanent. He chose me in Jesus Christ. Before the world began, chose me when I began, and it's going to last. So that's something I can identify with now and forever. That's a permanent status there, right? And then the second thing we need to bring up, need to consider, is that I am righteous. Yes, as if I never sinned, not because I haven't sinned, but because I'm righteous in His sight through Jesus Christ. I am a righteous man. I am sinless. I am guiltless. What I've done in the past, what I have done in the present, and what I will do in the future does not define me anymore, because Christ's righteousness is greater than mine. Christ trumps it. And so I am righteous, seamlessly so, in His sight, through Jesus Christ, declared righteous by his son and the sacrifice of his son. Again, you see how stabilizing this is? I identify as a chosen, elect person of God that lasts forever. I've identified as a righteous man, a righteous woman of God, seamlessly so, completely justified, just as if I never sinned, if I may say that. It's not great theology, but I'll say it anyway. Just as if I never sinned, I stand before God, guiltless, free at last. See how permanent that is? See, I'm identifying with that. The third thing I want to identify with is that I'm called a saint. The scripture calls me a saint, a separated one, a holy one. I'm being sanctified. In other words, I'm getting better all the time. Yes, I fall. Yes, I fail. But I know now, better than ever before, when I sin, when I fail, and I get myself up by the grace of God, and I move, and I'm moving more and more towards God and away from worldliness. Oh man, I was so worldly. And when I was young, and even after I became a Christian, still so worldly. The baggage that I took into Christianity because of all my worldliness was still there, a lot of it. And I had to drop that baggage off at this spot, at that spot. And now it's so much better. I've dropped off a lot. Still, there's scars and they remain. But a lot of it's gone. Just like the ships, the rocket ships that jettison the caps of the part of the rocket that has to go. Things have jettisoned. I've jettisoned things from my life, and I'm able to fly. I'm able to so identify myself now as a saint, and that's forever. See, that's my day. Who am I? I'm a saint. I'm a saint. I'm righteous. I'm elect. I'm chosen of God. And the fourth thing, final thing, is that I am a child of the King. Right? I'm a child of God. I belong to Him. I'm a king. You're a queen. I'm a prince. You're a princess of God. Kings and priests forever are we. All of us. And that I'm a child of God, that will never end either. Not just a child of my parents who are gone now, both of them. I'm a child of God. And the Word of God says so much more about that. I'm just giving you four things to identify. Who am I? I'm also a pilgrim and a stranger in this world, right? I'm also a citizen, first, of the kingdom of heaven. I am a citizen. My first citizenship is the kingdom of heaven. I'm a member of the bride of Christ. I'm a child of light, a friend of God, a slave of righteousness. All these things the scripture says. If you want to find your identity, young people, any people, young people in particular, don't go to the internet. Don't go to your friends. Don't go to television. Don't go to the radio. Don't go to the sounds of secular music. Don't go anywhere else. Go to the scriptures and find out who you are and whom you serve. And that will give you a stabilizing effect, and it will be a profound influence as you develop who you are more and more, the knowledge of your self-awareness of who you are in God, what God calls you, what God says you are. It'll stabilize your life and the life of people around you. Just stick to what God says. Don't listen to anyone else says about you. God says in His Word. It's right there for anybody to see. Let's pray. Heavenly Lord, bless us on our way. We are your children. We belong to you. We are chosen and precious in your sight forever and ever. Righteous, guiltless, free forever and ever. We are saints in the earth, being sanctified by none other than the Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, is alive and well in us. We are a child belonging to God in Jesus Christ forever and ever, in the arms of God. Oh my, thank you, Lord, for defining who I am.
who I become. My most important appellation is I'm a Christian. I belong to Jesus. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm a Christian. So precious. In your name, we're thankful and pray and praise. Amen. Let's, in closing, sing hymn number 536. Remember, tonight, go to Covenant Church for worship. Hymn number 536. Let's rise up to sing this hymn, 536.